The Lord Jesus should not be second place in our lives. As we're going to see this morning, as we open to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that Jesus Christ is the most important person in human history. It's important for us to understand, in John chapter 1, we see probably one of the most theological statements that you'll see in any of the Gospels. John chapter 1, we last week began with an introduction to the Gospel of John. And we saw the fact that Matthew presents Jesus as king, Mark presents Jesus as servant, Luke presents Jesus as man, but John presents Jesus as the Son of God. And we saw that Jesus said, "I am," on several occasions in the book of John. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the one that is the true vine." Jesus is the one that shows us seven powerful miracles in the book of John, and that the purpose of the book of John is that you might believe. In contemplating as to how to preach through the book of John, I am not going to worry about time constraint. What I mean by that doesn't mean I'm going to preach forever today, but what I mean by that, I am not going to try to rush through this book. And if you are going to say, "Man, when are we ever going to get through the book of John?" You might as well say that the same way as, "How long is it going to take us to get through these vice lists?" Well, that took us 3 years. I am not going to necessarily park on one verse all the time in the book of John, but we are going to not worry about that, at least this morning. I want us to see that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, which is what we're going to preach on this morning, we see the reality of Jesus Christ. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." We see in the next verses His resuscitation. He is able to give life. It says in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. For that was the true light, which giveth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." We'll see his reception. In verse 11, "He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And then we see his revitalization. He does not leave us alone after we receive him. "Because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, so we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of Him, and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me," here's what we said earlier, "He is preferred. He is preferred, John said, before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. That is an incredible passage of Scripture. Interesting, for years that has impacted my life. And I just do not remember the last time I even preached through that. But I've often, when I used to get up in the chapel of Bob Jones University in the middle of the night because I was night watch, I'd get up in that mass auditorium and stand up there in the pulpit, nobody around, and say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And I would go on through that. I've done that on several occasions here when I'm here alone, maybe testing the mic or something. But it is interesting that this is an impacting passage of Scripture, because we're introduced to the Word. And it says there in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Now it's interesting, the word is logos. And if you ever are studying the Greek language, understand logos. There's a Bible program out there called Logos. Anybody familiar with that? Okay, a few people are. And it means the Word. The Word. Ryrie, in his footnote, says that the word means thought, concept, and expression. In the Old Testament, the concept conveyed activity and revelation. And the word or wisdom of God is often personified. And you see that actually in Psalm 33, verse 6, the 33rd Psalm, which says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Let there be light." Boom! And there was light. "Let there be the firmament." And it spread. And He goes on and He gives us the creation that we preached on and a few weeks ago in Genesis 1. The Word. And this morning, I want to preach on the deity of Jesus Christ, but particularly I want to preach on this from the standpoint of the Word. First of all, I want us to see that the Word is Jesus. And we have to understand that in the book of John, we are talking about Jesus. If you notice there in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, all you have to do is look at verse 14, which we read, and we see that the Word, and if you have a King James Version, it's capitalized there, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, John bear witness of this Word. Now, we know, as we'll continue on in the first chapter, that in verse 29, the next day, John seeth who? Jesus. So we know that Jesus became flesh. That's why in Matthew and the book of Luke, which, by the way, are the only two Gospels that tell us of the birth of Jesus Christ, and that He became flesh, He dwelt among us. John says in verse 29 that He is called the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, we have to understand that when you study your Bible, that you're going to see Jesus in every part of the Bible. Jesus Christ comes up in many, many different ways. We see Him right away in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve were cursed because of their sin, He is that seed which is going to usurp the authority over the serpent's head. And He is the Passover in Exodus. He is the blood that is shed in Leviticus. And we could go through the Old Testament and we could see that the person of Jesus Christ comes up over and over and over again. And the Bible tells us that He is the Word. I always think it's interesting, whenever I've studied church history, I see the importance of Jesus Christ. And probably no one said it better than Kenneth Scott Latterett in his book on the history of the Christian church. Probably an unsaved man from what we understand, but he says this: no two human beings are exactly alike. The differences are often subtle, and yet the very qualities which someone observing see it's very important. How impossible it must be, therefore, adequately to understand, describe one who stood out so markedly from his contemporaries and from all men. Both before and since, he says, there's no one that stands out as remarkably as Jesus Christ. In the first century, he says, and through the generations that have followed, opinions have sharply differed about Jesus Christ. It is evidence of his importance, of the effect that he has had upon history, and presumably of the baffling mystery of his being, that no other life ever lived on this planet has evoked so huge a volume of literature among so many peoples and languages, and that from far from ebbing, it just continues to mount. More has been written about Jesus the Christ. More has been told about Jesus the Christ more than any other human being ever. Jesus is the most important human being that has ever lived. Latterett goes on and says that his life is the most influential ever lived on this planet, and its effect continues to mount. He said, this is the most thought-provoking fact of human history. And Latterett goes on and says, the literature on the subject of Jesus is enormous. No set of topics has been more engaged the attention of scholars across the centuries. The flood of books and articles give no indication of subsiding. And yet we could talk about the literature in the sense of what has been written not only of him, but about him and about those who have followed him. We could look at the art. You cannot go into the history of art and not see pictures that they try to describe of Jesus. One writer said Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, Aristotle for 40, and Jesus only taught for 3 years. Yet those 3 years infinitely transcend in influence the combined 130 years of the teachings of Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Three of the greatest men of antiquity. Jesus painted no pictures, yet the paintings of Raphael and Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, and scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music, and yet Handel and Beethoven and Bach and Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of the melody and the hymns, symphonies, and oratorios written in his praise. Folks, I want you to know the person we're following is unique in human history. And yet, the Bible tells us that he is the Word. So we see that the Word is Jesus. Number two, I want you to see that the Word is eternal. Now, when it says, in the beginning, John, under the inspiration of God, is saying before time existed was the Word. And it says here that verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. He is pre-existent human history. He is pre-existed before human history. If you remember the verse that we saw, for instance, if you'll go, if you will, to the book of John chapter 8, we see this presented about Jesus, that Jesus Christ, it describes him here in chapter 8, and if you look with me at verse 52, then the Jews said unto him, speaking of Jesus, now we know that thou hast a devil, and their proof is Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Now, quite a statement Jesus made. He said, if you keep my sayings, you'll never taste death. You'll never see death. So they said, we know you're a liar because you said that. How do we know? Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself to be? Now I want you to see in verse 54, Jesus said that if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Now he says in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Now I just want you to go back a couple thousand years and you'll see that you come to Moses, I believe. And 1,000 years before that, you come to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12. Go to your Bibles. 12 chapters and then you see Jesus, see Abraham. And we're told in verse 57 that the Jews said to him, are you greater than Abraham? Verse 58, verily, verily. Now if you want to know what verily, verily means, that's amen, amen, amen. We say amen. Of a truth, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And the scripture tells us that Abraham lived to see the day of Jesus. Jesus lived before Abraham existed. And the Bible tells us that Abraham lived before Noah. Jesus lived before Noah. Jesus lived before Moses. Jesus lived before Solomon. Jesus lived before Jeremiah. And you could go back in human history, he lived. Because in the beginning was the Word. Now, we also know that we're told in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, what's the next word? Forever. You see, there's a reason why he made such a splash in those few years he was on earth. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but yet he had existed for all eternity. So the Bible tells us that the Word is Jesus. The Word is eternal. Now you say in verse 1, I thought you said, preacher, a couple weeks ago, with Jesus and God, there is no was. Well, obviously, the writing of John saying back there, Jesus was there. And yet we see when he lived, he was, I am here. And the scripture tells us that he will be coming back one day. So Jesus is the Word eternal. Number 3. Your Bible in front of you teaches that not only is the Word Jesus, not only is the Word eternal, but the Word is Creator. Jesus, according to your Bible, in my Bible, created the world. He is not just another human teacher that came along when he came to this earth and taught some nice philosophies so that somebody else could come and improve on that. No, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the creator of the world. And that's why it tells us in verse 3, all things were made by Him, who is the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So you go back to the book of Genesis and you'll see there that our Bible begins with an assumption, and that assumption that there is a God. And that assumption says that the world was created by God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And verse 3, the Word said, let there be light. We're told that the Word said in verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. The Word said in verse 9 of Genesis 1, let the waters gather together. And He called the dry ground earth. And the Word said, let the earth bring forth grass. And the Word says, let there be lights. And so there was a sun, and there was a moon. Boom! Right like that. Created. He just said the Word. And it was the Word of God that said, let us make man in our image. He created Adam and Eve. We're told that on the seventh day, having a busy week, He rested. Not that He, being omnipotent, was tired, but He enjoyed His work. We're made after His image. That's why when you make something, don't you kind of take a little pride in that? You say, hey, you know, I did that. Almost every day we've been going, working on an addition on our home, and I pull out of my driveway and say, oh, yeah, it's coming. Sometimes a little discouraged, not as far as I want, but it's coming. See, the Word is Creator. All things were made by Him. And that's why in Genesis 1, you'll see that God said, let us make man in our image. You study it. Chapter 1, verse 26 of Genesis. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl. The Word is Creator. Understand what John is trying to say to us. And when we read those real fun stories about Nicodemus and the woman at the well, and we see these incredible stories with Lazarus, we are looking at the person who created that world. And when He died on the cross of Calvary, it's very sombering thing to realize that He created the world, the earth, that they crucified Him on. Colossians. Can you turn there? In Colossians chapter 1, because it's important that we understand that the Bible is telling us something that is not questionable. Early believers right away in studying their Bibles began to realize this Jesus is different than anybody else. Colossians chapter 1. Now we're told about verse 13, at the end of that verse, the kingdom of God the Father's Son. Do you see that? Now if you don't turn your Bible, you can go to sleep. Turn your Bible and you see this. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 13, the kingdom of His, God's Son. Verse 14, now this Son is whom we have redemption in. It's through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. So we know that through Jesus Christ we can have our sins forgiven. Have you had your sins forgiven? I mean, honestly. Are all your sins, your past sins, your present sins, and future sins forgiven? So that when you die, you can immediately go to heaven. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, is to have all your sins forgiven. You're going to need somebody that's going to be able to do what you can't do. You cannot get your sins forgiven. I don't care how much church you go to. I don't care how much... many times you get baptized. I don't care how many times you do good things, witness, give money. All of that is going to amount to a hill of beans because it will not get you to heaven. Redemption, or the purchase of all your sins, or the forgiveness of sins, is through something that God has already done. And that is, send His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. You cannot go to heaven without taking the blood of Jesus for yourself. But as many as received Him, we read that this morning, to believe on His name. Now, we're in Colossians 1. We have redemption through His blood. Now, who is this one that sheds this blood? Well, verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. You want to say, okay, now the Bible says no man has seen God at any time, and yet we have seen Jesus. He's the image of that invisible person of God. He's the firstborn. Now, that doesn't mean He was the first one that was born on planet Earth. He was first in priority. He is the one who is first that has been born. And He's that firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, what about Him? Well, by Him, we're speaking about Jesus, the Word, were all things, what's the Word? Okay, good, you're in your Bible. You need to see this. And my purpose this morning is to establish the foundation for what we're going to see in the book of John. By Jesus, the Scripture says, through Him all things were created, whether they be in heaven or whether they be in earth, whether they are visible and even the invisible. We don't see the angels. We don't see the a lot of things that are we know exist. He even created the stars you can't see because they're too far away. And then somebody in some science lab discovers it. Hey, we found another star. God knew about it from day one. And Jesus created that. He's created thrones and dominions. He raises up powers. Brother Bennett talked to me today about someone he was talking about and talking with, and talking about the fact that God raises up governments. God raises up the president we have. He puts kings on their thrones. The Bible says in Proverbs, as the river of water, God puts the king on His throne. And just as God controls the rivers of water, He controls who sits on the throne. The powers that be are ordained. And Jesus sets this up. sometimes as a blessing, or sometimes, as I'm reading in my Bible, as a curse when he created the throne of Manasseh. Or he brings the country of Babylon against his people. Jesus did all of this and does all of this. Or powers, those demonic forces that are out there, Jesus created them. We're told of the time when Jesus was there and there was this maniac, and the maniac came to Jesus and the demon said, "Have you come to destroy us before the time?" They knew he was the Son of God. Now, notice Colossians 1, 16. We're still there. Some of you have already wandered. Look at verse 16. All things. Can we say it with? I want you to read it. And if you're not looking at it, don't read it. Don't quote it. Read it. Here we go. All things were created by Him and for Him. Wow. He's a pretty significant character in our Bible, Jesus is. He created all of these things. Not only did He do it, but He did it for Himself. That's why verse 17, He is before all things. And by Him, the motor keeps running. The solar system keeps moving. And the sun keeps coming up and going down. And coming up and going down. And coming up and going down. And coming up and going down. One day, the Bible says that that's going to all be put away. By Him, by Jesus Christ, all things consist. And so as a result, He is, verse 18, the head of the body, the church. He's the one that needs to be in control of this place. He's the head of Faith Baptist Church. He calls the shots around here. There's no big shots around here. Jesus is the head. And the moment we begin to run church our way and not His way, the moment we have not fulfilled His purpose for us being here. He's the firstborn from the dead. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that those who believe in Christ will be raised from the dead as well. So we get to live forever. The body's going to go. 1 Corinthians 15. This mortality will put on immortality. And the first priority person to make that happen is Jesus Christ. So as a result, that, verse 18, I haven't forgotten this passage. Look at verse 18. That in all things He might have the preeminence. I like the sound of that word. He's the preeminent one. He has preeminence. He is before all things. He is to have preeminence in what I do, how I live, the kind of music I listen to, the kind of dress I wear, the kind of church I go to, the kind of job I have, the way I behave on my job. He is preeminent. He is first place. And so, the Word is Jesus. The Word, secondly, is eternal. Number three, the Word is Creator. Come back to John 1 now. Because if you have not already guessed it, if he's the creator of the world, if he's the preeminent one, he is the one that has priority over all things, how could we not come to the conclusion that the Word is God? John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word was there with God. That's why God could say, let us make man in our image. God the Father was there. God the Holy Spirit was there. That's why in Genesis 1 it tells us, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Look at it. And Jesus was there. And that's why John writes, and the Word was who? See, you can't escape that. Now, I looked at different translations, and you can't come up with anything different than that. I've looked at the Greek text, and it says that he is the God. The only translation I saw that didn't say that was a cult translation that doesn't believe that he's God. So they translate it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. What a pathetic, dishonest thing to do. That's supposed to be a translation? That is a theological prejudice fit into the text. No, the text itself says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we could say, is God. And we could also say, will always be God. How do you know? Because the Bible clearly states this. I remember as a young Christian, someone said, well, you can't really be saved if you don't believe who Jesus is, and that he is God. And I'm thinking, well, does the Bible really teach that? So I got into studying that. And the more and more I studied it, I thought, whoa, he is God. Interestingly enough, you know, there are those who have tried to debate that and tried to deny that, but you cannot get around it. The Bible through and through tells us that Jesus is God. And for your edification, I want to show you some verses that prove that. As if John 1, verse 1 wasn't proof enough. But I want you to see that Jesus is God. Now, we've already shown you that Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. So, which means that in John 1 and Colossians 1, if Jesus created, that would have to make Jesus God. Because it wasn't God plus someone else. Isaiah, turn with me. And I want to just do a little Bible study with you. And these are verses I've often taken people to who would deny the deity or that Jesus is God. Isaiah 41 and verse 4. Now, we know that in Isaiah, Jehovah God is speaking. We're told that the Lord is the one speaking here in Isaiah. For instance, Isaiah 40, it tells us, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. And we're told in chapter 41 that God says in verse 4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I the who? Lord, Jehovah God. Who is he? He's the first and with the last. I am he. So God is telling us that He is the first. There's no one before Him, and there'll be no one that outlives Him. Now, when we go to the book of Revelation, we find that Revelation is the revelation of who? The revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not the book of Revelations. Okay, let me just discount that right away. It's not Revelations. It's not many revelations. It's the revelation. Jesus Christ is going to be revealed one day. He will come, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, I'm no one before me, no one after me, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So this is speaking of who? God. Now, if you go over to chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 8, it tells us that the Lord, writing to the church at Smyrna, saith He these things, saith the first and the... Okay, so the one who never... who exists before all things and will outlive everyone else. He says, I'm the first, I'm the last, which was dead. Did God die? The Son of God died. And He is now alive. I'm saying to you that Revelation 20, chapter 2, verse 8, is the one who is in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 4. He is Jehovah. We showed you last week that God appeared to Moses and said, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? Remember that? And Moses said, what is his name? And God says, I am that I am hath sent thee. I've already shown you John chapter 8, verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. He was saying, I am God. I am Jehovah. So that's why they went to pick stones up to throw at Him. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm running out of time, obviously, as I usually do. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 6. Now it speaks about Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ did not consider His reputation as God so great that He would not come to this earth and be made a servant in the form of a man. Time's running out. Let me give you some other verses. Isaiah 9:6. Good Christmas verse. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now who is that? That's Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic promise of the birth of Jesus Christ. But what's His name? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Matthew 1:23, when Jesus was born, they called His name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, which is a quote from Psalm 45:6, which says, unto the Son He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. John 20, verse 28, Thomas wouldn't believe when Jesus rose from the dead unless He touched His hands and His feet. And so Thomas was there one day and Jesus appeared to him and Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Let me show you one other verse. John chapter 5, John chapter 5. Because I want you to understand that when the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, it is understood, and the Pharisees understood it, the religious teachers of their day understood it, that he was making himself equal with God. Look at John 5 and verse 18, and it tells us, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him." Why? Because he not only broken the Sabbath, at least in the way that they didn't think he should have, but said also that God was his Father. Can we read this out loud together? It's in your Bible. Making himself equal with God. Do you wonder why when he's being crucified and Caiaphas says, who do you think you are anyway? And Jesus says, well, you'll understand the day that I come breaking through the clouds. And he was quoting Daniel. And Daniel speaks about the Lord God coming and breaking the kingdoms of this earth. Now, let's come back to John 1. Because I want you to see this. How do I quickly go through those verses? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, folks, Jesus is the center of our universe. Jesus is the most important historical figure in human history. Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. In our exchange evangelism course, we say to people, God is holy and He cannot tolerate our sin. God is just and He cannot overlook our sin. But we say that God is loving and He's provided a way to satisfy His holiness and judgment. But you got to understand who Jesus is. He is God's Son. You also have to understand what Jesus did. God died on the cross for your sins, and He was buried, and He rose again. And God is gracious because He offers salvation to you as a gift. Father was reading his Sunday paper and wishing not to be disturbed by his little girl, cut up a map of the world, gave it to her, and told her to put it together. Well, after a while, she returned with it, and every piece was in its place. The father was very much surprised and said, "Why? How did you do it, darling? You don't know anything about geography." Well, the little one replied, "There was a picture of Jesus on the other side, and I knew when I had Jesus in the right place, the whole world would be all right." Folks, you put Jesus in the right place. Seek first the kingdom of God. Our eating, our drinking, our clothing, all things will take care of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Jesus, my Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in a place where we can just contemplate on you. Our Father, we know that you are God. We know that Jesus is God. We know that the Holy Spirit is God. We also know that there's only one God, and we don't always understand that. Just as we see in the text that the Father is distinct from the Son and the Son from the Father, and yet you are God. Now, Father, if there be somebody here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they would put him in the right place so that things in this world will take care of itself. Now, Father, bless this day. Help us for Jesus' sake. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, can we stand quietly to our feet? Maybe you would say, I don't know if I ever really knew